You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. We turn now to Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. One might think, Daniel, with that white-hot glare of worldwide publicity trained right on Flint, something like this wouldn't happen. The man heading the push to replace those lead pipes not being paid. What does this tell us about how Flint works?
I think it tells us right now that there's an awful lot of strings on a lot of the money that's coming into Flint from the state, from foundations, and from other sources. You got state appropriations that have strings. You've got foundations that announce really big numbers, up to $130 million. And the assumption is that all that money drops on Flint's head. It doesn't. It's metered out over time. You've got city council approvals in the case of paying the general. And it's a new city council because they're now, in a sense, that they're coming out from underneath emergency management. You've got the receivership transition advisory board that also has to sign off on this. So there's a lot of these bureaucratic gates that everything has to go through. And it's an attempt to be accountable, and I understand that. But I think what you see is sometimes you can be so accountable that you've got somebody who's basically working for free for the summer, essentially. He was working pro bono from like February to May or something like that, and now he's supposed to be paid for the summer, and he hasn't been paid.
Well, you got to wonder how much of this is just plain old incompetence.
Well, I think that's probably part of it. I think it's a lack of muscle memory. I mean, the city is trying to put itself back together. I mean, recognize, as I point out in the column today, that the city administrator was fired in May. They had a CFO who left in June, had only been there a year. The mayor is clearly trying to put her team in place. I don't think anybody begrudges that to her. But anytime you're doing that and looking for candidates, you know, there's a lack of what the general calls a lack of capacity. When I interviewed him, I talked about bureaucracy, and he said, well, you could call it bureaucracy. He said, I prefer to think of it as a lack of capacity, meaning we don't have the right people or as many people in the jobs we need to actually do the basics. And I think that's what people need to appreciate about a city like Flint right now, is that it's really in it's in a multiple transition periods over a lot of different things, and one of it is how the city is run.
I want to talk a little about the Schuette investigation, which is not exactly proceeding at a lightning pace. We just learned yesterday that preliminary examinations for the 8 state employees who've been charged are not coming until next January and spread out through April. Mm-hmm. And the AG isn't ruling anyone out, including the governor. So how much of this is careful investigation and how much do you think is politics?
Well, the attorney general would tell you, and he said it many times publicly, that it's all careful investigation and no politics. The problem is that when you have an attorney general who clearly is running for the Republican nomination to become governor in 2018, it's hard to separate that. And frankly, it's hard to take that at face value. You know, I don't think there's any question that the attorney general is serious about trying to bring people to account. I think it's all very interesting that he refuses to exclude the governor or any of the people in his inner circle. And I can understand why he's doing that. But that is having an effect in the administration. I think there are people who are wondering who's going to be next, who's going to be named. And you look at the scheduling of some of this stuff. I mean, here you have guys who were indicted in April, and they're not getting their preliminary examination until January 2017. You know, somebody said to me yesterday, said, this thing is going to go on as long as Snyder is governor, and likely even farther down the road. It's a window into how our justice system works. I think there's some real frustration that the attorney general and his team are kind of taking their time here and really drawing this thing out. And that's having an impact on how the administration is able to help Flint and what it's able to do.
Daniel, when we hear the kinds of stories, for example, that Ron French broke, that here you have the retired general hasn't been paid all year. Mm-hmm. What does this tell us about Flint's recovery efforts in terms of how could people or foundations who say, you know what, I want to do the right thing, I want to donate money, help the city, how can they be certain that those donations are going to be appropriately used? I mean, if the city bobbled paying the water czar.
Well, you know, they did and they didn't. I think we have to recognize that there's a lot of constraints that are put on their ability to pay the bills and to use monies that are not necessarily their monies, like as in they're not city tax monies that they are then collecting and then deciding how to distribute their foundation monies, their state appropriation monies. And I think we would be having a different conversation if there weren't controls on some of, and conditions on some of those monies. But I think it says that this is going to be slow. you're going to see, and I think business, we haven't talked about the business community, but the business community is also ramping up to try and support small business efforts in the city of Flint, potential venture capital, private equity, small business lending programs. And they, too, are going to be looking at this, but it's not going to happen quickly. So I think this is going to be a slow process. But, you know, I am of the opinion that what's happening to Flint right now is actually a lot of it is opportunity. It's getting an awful lot of resources and an awful lot of attention that it probably otherwise wouldn't get for a city of barely 100,000 people as a result of this water crisis.
Yeah, we did talk about that. But clearly the opportunity is somewhat offset by, as you say,
right.
just the clunkiness of all of this.
I don't think there's any question. And I think you're seeing a lot of growing pains. You know, Mayor Weaver is new. She's new to the political game. And frankly, this is new for the state. I mean, they're really having to marshal a lot of resources and trying to be kind of multidisciplinary. I mean, you watch these Friday meetings online and they're like fingernails on a blackboard. It's so bureaucratic, and you've got all these different departments that are reporting in, and it's done very incrementally. And then you look at this and you say, that's why things aren't happening quickly. But there's a lot of reasons why it's not, and I think we're going to continue to see this, frankly.
Small comfort if you're a parent looking at the water coming out of that tap and worrying about what it contains.
I think that's right, although they are saying that the reports, I saw Mark Edwards of Virginia Tech late in August said, you know, things are definitely trending in the right direction, and there will be some anomalous readings going forward, but they think they've got their arms around it in terms of the water quality.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. As always, thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.